Se βασμιότατε, αγαπητοί αδελφοί, ιερείς της περιοχής μας, αγαπητά μέλη αυτής της κοινότητος και κύριε Πρωτάρχη, χαίρομαι να σας δω. Πριν τρεις δεκαετίες ήμουν αξιωματικός στο δικό μας ναυτικό και έχω πολλούς συμμαθητές από την Νάπολη που πήγε στο PG School. Όπως βλέπετε, πήγε σε ένα άλλο PG School, αλλά είμαστε εδώ μαζί. Εύχομαι πως θα έχουμε την ευκαιρία να μιλήσουμε. Εντάξει, ωραία. Χρόνια πολλά. Δοξάζω τον Θεό να έχω την ευκαιρία να είμαι μαζί σας απόψε για την γιορτή αυτής της κοινότητος. Είναι μια κοινότητα που τώρα γνωρίζω μάλλον καλά και είναι μια κοινότητα γεμάτη από ενθουσιασμό και δραστηριότητες και με δύο υπέροχους ιερείς. And while I'm on the subject of Saint Nicholas, that has many wonderful families, Saint Nicholas, I hope you know, has produced one of the metropolis's most important church families, the Duterte family, and now also the Carter family. And many of us in the Bay Area and the metropolis actually received an email recently from Johanna reminding us that it's time to start looking forward to the 2020 summer camp. And those who have been to our summer camp will know that arguably it is the finest camp program in the Orthodox Church in the United States today. And as a consequence, when people come home from summer camp, they feel almost let down because summer camp feels like the way life should be, like natural life, the way the world was designed to be. And when we come home from summer camp, we discover that life back here in our regular quote-unquote world feels a bit odd and a bit out of place. And we could reasonably ask ourselves, why is it that when we come back from summer camp, even when we go to church, we feel like things are a bit unnatural for us? And I would submit that if we're honest with ourselves as Christians living in the 21st century Western world, the developed world, it's because so much of what is unnatural about life in the secular Western world has begun to make its way into the life of everyday churches, Orthodox churches and other kinds of churches. And tonight I was hoping that we would look at the life of St. Nicholas a bit as a way of developing a scheme for us to return to the natural way of existence here in our own local churches, not just at summer camp. Now, I think most of us, when we think of St. Nicholas, we think of his generosity and his care for others. And it would be almost cliche and condescending to detail the life, or the episode in the life of St. Nicholas of providing for the daughters of the man from Patara who had lost all of his money, and how his daughters without dowries were destined for a life of ill repute. We all know that story. But it's what we think about when we think first about St. Nicholas, his generosity. And generosity is one of the hallmarks of the Christian life, certainly of the Orthodox Christian life, and we might even say of the Greek Orthodox Christian life, because we pride ourselves so much on our philoxenia. Stinginess is truly one of the most obvious manifestations of life in a fallen world. And we know that out there in the world, we ask ourselves, what's in it for me when we are dealing with other people? If you don't believe me, think about all of the books that have been written about the subject of negotiation. And why do we need all those books about negotiation? Because we ourselves are selfish and we have to somehow find a way to navigate ourselves through life in spite of and, quite frankly, because of our stinginess. And we know that stinginess is not simply the domain of the wealthy, far from it. In fact, we know that there are many wealthy people who are generous, but if you walk through San Francisco and encounter people who are living on the streets, what's one of the things you hear most often? Keep away from my stuff. Stinginess is something that scars all of the fallen world. And you say, well, are we that way in the church? And I would have to say, I'm afraid so. I'm afraid that the modern church has become like the modern world in many ways. Those of you who are familiar with the inside baseball aspect of metropolis life will know that for almost a decade, I was in charge of helping parishes meet their obligations to the archdiocese. I can preach about this now since I'm no longer in charge of it. And thank you, Your Eminence, for making that possible. But one of the things that one encounters when working with churches and asking them to support the archdiocese is the pushback. They want exceptions and don't want to give as much as they could. And for all kinds of reasons, and it would be easy to get angry, except I know that this is what life in a fallen world is like. We are more prone to look out for ourselves. Of course, at the same time, we'll say, why can't the church have a better seminary? Why can't we pay off the St. Nicholas Project? Why can't we do this and why can't we do that? All the while, trying to pay as less as we can to the archdiocese. It makes sense if you think about how the fallen world has crept into the church and made her so unnatural. If we want the church to be restored to her right order, if we want all of these glorious things to happen in our national church, in our metropolis church, in our local churches, we need to remember that there is nothing noble or salvific about being parsimonious. Instead, we need to follow the example of the hierarch who did everything he could to help three impoverished sisters faced with a life of ill repute. St. Nicholas reminds us that we need to have courage of our convictions. And this is obvious from his life. When he was first appointed to Myra, he was actually imprisoned because of his opposition to the pagans. His opposition to the heresy of Arianism is well known, even some accounts saying that he slapped Arius at the First Ecumenical Council. One of the hymns that we read tonight is not about the First Ecumenical Council, but about an episode from his life some of us forget about. You appeared to Constantine the Great and his magistrate named Oblavius in a frightening dream. Sternly you commanded them, release immediately from the dungeon the prisoners whom you hold unjustly. For of the unlawful slaughter they are innocent. But if you refuse to obey me, I will pray intently against you when I supplicate the Lord, O Emperor. And this is an episode where three imperial officers were on their way to duty in Phrygia. And through the jealousy of this person, Oblavius, they were imprisoned unjustly. And St. Nicholas appears in the dream both to Oblavius and to Constantine to tell them to release these three men held unjustly. St. Nicholas speaks the truth, but he is a man of mercy and speaks the truth with mercy. And that's something for us to think about as we consider how we speak the truth in 21st century America. I had a conversation with one of our teens recently about when to stand up and when not to stand up and when to speak up and when to be silent. And I said, you know, if you're with a group of people and they're mocking folks who aren't vegans and you're the only meat eater and they say there's something wrong with people who eat meat, keep your mouth shut and smile. But if you're with a group of people that mock Christians and say people who believe that Jesus Christ is God and people who go to church, there's something wrong with them, then you'd better speak up. The problem is, as we consider life in 21st century America, we've become, as Christians, a little bit too adept at camouflaging our faith because we want to be accepted by the world, a world that, quite frankly, very often treats our beliefs with indifference, maybe even sometimes contempt. And every time we don't stand up for our faith, we diminish the faith. We struggle to be accepted by the neo-pagans who surround us, but then afterwards, we don't feel good about it. We don't feel good about the fact that people have said things that we completely disagree with and we've been silent, not about meat eating, but about the faith. And in our silence, we become later filled with self-contempt and self-loathing. All of us have heard probably 1,000 times the quote of St. Seraphim of Sarah, "Find inner peace and thousands around you will be saved." I can tell you that when a person is filled with self-contempt, self-loathing, with disappointment in their actions, it's hard to find inner peace. It's hard to spread anything that's good around us. And in fact, when we don't speak up for our faith, the people who are around us who might be thinking about becoming Christian, who might want to be more serious in their Christianity, well, we alienate them because of our lack of courage. So if we want thousands around us to be saved, then we need to have the intestinal fortitude, if you will, to be like the hierarch that preached the gospel to the pagans, that slapped Arius, and that freed the unjustly imprisoned imperial officers, knowing, of course, he is a saint of love and compassion. And we do these things not to prove ourselves right. We do these things to bring justice into the world. And thirdly, St. Nicholas reminds us that true life, real life, consists of a spiritual realm that goes beyond the materialistic perspective of the world. One of the hymns tonight was this: "Great and ardent guardian of all, people who are facing a grave danger, are you, O Nicholas, glorious and holy hierarch and preacher of Christ. You are known as the patron saint of sailors, and also you protect us traveling near and far by land and air. Now we are assembled and cry out, pray the Lord that we be delivered from every disaster and from accidents." And all of us know that this hymn postdates St. Nicholas's life. But obviously, through the 17th century since his life, he continues to be an intercessor for people in danger, for sailors, for travelers. He's the patron saint of many countries. And these innumerable saving miracles remind us that there's something more to life than what we see. But that's not really the current belief of most of the world, at least I would say most of the world in the Bay Area, because we are materialists, not materialistic, but materialists. We believe that all of life is just about what you and I can see and touch, and that every emotion, every action is just a product of the way that atoms collide to make it happen. That's what materialists think. And there are many people living that kind of a life. Now, frequently we encounter them and we say, well, I'll live and let live. And if that's what they want to believe, that's okay. But please remember that if we think that materialism as a philosophy is not hurting things, we need to consider the effect of this toxic creep that materialism has on the life of the church, the very DNA of the faith. A man named Thomas Crothwell wrote in the National Catholic Register the following. This is a quote. Devotion in the West to St. Nicholas has seen a nosedive. And in fact, it is not unusual to hear Christians of other traditions regard the episodes from the life of St. Nicholas as some sort of mythology. And the notion that we could pray to St. Nicholas for him to intercede us so that we could be kept safe from harm is just some sort of a fairy tale fantasy. But we who are members of an incarnational faith, if we decry, if we deny the life of St. Nicholas, we run the risk of going a bit further and even denying the incarnation. And if we regard our prayers to St. Nicholas as a fantasy that is deviated from real life, then we are on the verge of becoming what so many postmodern Christians are, people who talk about the quote-unquote Jesus story. And so our antidote is to always pray fervently to the saint, to the patron saint of this parish, so that he can intercede for us and so that we can always be reminded that there is much more to life than what we see and what we touch. So I would conclude this evening by asking you to please send your children to our summer camp. It is, in fact, the best camp in the country. But adults, I'm sorry, you're too old. You can't go to summer camp. But I would hope and pray that we could work together to recover our natural life, the natural life of the church. And we do that by honoring the saints, especially St. Nicholas, the patron saint of this parish. They show us, these saints of ours, they show us not simply how to live, but how to live the life that we were supposed to live before the fall of mankind, the life of redemption that Jesus Christ offers. Today, the 17-century-long witness of St. Nicholas has never been more important. The world we live in teaches us to hold on to what you got. That if you don't stand up for what you believe in and just tolerate what anybody around you is saying, well, that's love. And the world around us teaches us that what you see is what you get. There's no more to the universe except that they can be observed. We Orthodox Christians, we Greek Orthodox Christians, we who love St. Nicholas know differently. The truth is that we are called to be like him. Generous, bold, and yes, mystical. How urgent are the words that you sing every Sunday and that we are about to sing in just a few minutes as we conclude Vespers. A rule of faith are you, and an icon of gentleness and a teacher of self-control. And to your flock, this was evident by the truth of your life and deeds. You were humble, and therefore you acquired exalted gifts, treasure in heaven for being poor. O Father and Hierarch St. Nicholas, intercede with Christ our God and entreat him to save our souls. Amen.